Amen.
I'm going to mute it for a second real quick.
You want me to mute it? You know, you pray to the Lord, and he says, be quiet, Bill. You know what I mean? Don't open your mouth anymore there. So there, now. Now we're cooking, brother. Yeah, I feel it. All right. Are you in Psalm 94 tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's turn there in our Bibles as we enter into the songs of judgment tonight. And we're going to cover four or five psalms maybe. And, you know, let's start off with a question. Do people... individuals, do they really get away with when they do evil to others? Can they get by and God's not going to get them? Amen? No, listen. Tonight, the songs of judgment beginning in Psalm 94. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs. And look what he does again. He repeats it. O God, to whom vengeance belongs. And look what the psalmist sings for God to do. He says, oh, shine forth. Let your glorious justice, your glorious presence be seen, O Lord. I am so thankful tonight that I know and I'm so comfortable with it now at this stage in my life. I am so glad that vengeance, that it doesn't belong to me. Amen. I'm not the one that's going to carry out the vengeance. I'm not going to try to get even because you know why? One day God is going to correct all wrongs done to other people. Amen. He's the one that we look to. And you know, when I look today, I mean, it's almost difficult to read the Fort Worth Star Telegram, you know, as much less listen to the news. I mean, you know, people, the viciousness that is out there, the senseless the road rage. You know, when I read about that poor little six-year-old boy in California, there in the back seat of his mother's car, and that whoever it was and why, I don't know, and they shot the car, and when it did, it went through the back of the little boy, it went through his stomach, and he died. He died right there where his mother was trying to help him. That is what you call just insanity. You know what? It was just, 3 days ago, here in Fort Worth, a gentleman, he just happened to walk out of a convenience store in Fort Worth. His car was parked here. There was another car parked there. His wife was sitting in the car, and the car next to his was a brand new Mercedes. And he just happened to say to the owner, he said, that is just a beautiful car, sir. And he started to get into his car, and as he did, four guys jumped out of the Mercedes and beat him up for no reason. For no reason. When you think about the mass shootings that have occurred this year alone, do you know that over 232 mass shootings have occurred in America since January? And if one report that I heard, and I'm not saying I'm right, if I heard correctly, there has been, in just the month of May, and we're in June 2nd right now, the month of May, there were over 60 mass shootings. And I'm going, this is just unbelievable. All the wrongs, all the things that are happening. No wonder we can identify with the psalmist right now. He says in verse 2, he says, oh, rise up, O judge of the earth. In other words, come, we want you to rise up right this minute. And he says, render, or literally repay with punishment to the proud. He says, oh, Lord, and listen to what he says. How long? How long will the wicked, triumph. What a word. In other words, that word triumph is speaking of gloating about what they've done or rejoicing about what they have done. So the psalmist cries out in his song, he says, can you just give me a date? How much longer do we have to wait? You know what? I know this, that you know, I no longer need to know when people hurt me or hurt you. I hope you know this. I don't need to know when anymore. Do you? No. Oh, listen, when people betray you or hurt you or take advantage of you, I just know this. I don't need to know when. I just know that God's perfect timing is better than anything I could ever do. God knows exactly when to do it. And not only that, we're not old covenant saints. We're new covenant saints. Amen? What does the Bible tell us to do when people harm us or come against us or whatnot? You know, to cause violence against our lives. It says in Romans 12:17, it says, repay no one evil for evil, and have regard for good things in the sight of all men. That's a great scripture. It means do what is beautiful in the sight of men. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peacefully with all men. That's a big one, isn't it? All people. And he says, beloved, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Why? For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, we are citizens of heaven. Amen? We live in a post-Christian society. Literally, believe it or not, we are just sheep. We're sheep among wolves. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, God says this in these songs of judgment. He says, listen, let me take care of this. Let me take care of that problem. Let me take care of that, you know, so forth. And God's vengeance, loved one, don't ever think that God's vengeance is God's revenge. God doesn't have revenge. Yeah. No, God's vengeance is holy, loved one. It's holy. And God is the judge. He has perfect knowledge of why people did what they did, and they will answer for it. You see, when that scripture that I just read where it said, give place to wrath, that means that God is already on it. He's already doing something about it. And therefore, you know what we do? Listen to what it says as I continue in Romans 12. It says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, starve him to death. No. Oh, I know it. I know. You got upset. No, we don't do that. It says, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, here's what happens, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And then it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're Christians. Good is our only weapon. Amen? It is our only weapon. God has called us to conquer evil with good. So what do? Hostility against us is repaid by doing good. And boy, the moment we obey God, he is involved, isn't he? Man, listen. Yes, God is so good. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence or muzzle or render people speechless by your actions, that the silence the ignorance of foolish men. So the wicked, the God haters, if you will. Isn't that a terrible thing, to hate God? They will not escape the punishment. So as the song continues, it says, they, meaning those who that are the wicked, it says, they utter speech and they speak insolent things. And all the workers of iniquity, look what they do. They boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, meaning they're crushing us. And he says, and they afflict or literally oppress your heritage, and they slay the widow. They slay the stranger. They murder the fatherless. Now look what they do. Yet they say, the Lord doesn't see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Boy, that's what you call a false security, isn't it? A false confidence, if you will, and a major mistake. You know, I had a dear radio listener that had listened in. He actually sent letters to me about every month and an offering for the radio, you know, for Lovner Fells on the air. And he was not too long ago on a morning walk. He's an executive for a major company in the DFW area. And he went on his morning walk, as he had done all of those years, and just taking a morning walk, somebody came alongside him and killed him, murdered him. And when I didn't hear from him after several months, I called the company, and they knew who I was because they kept sending offerings for Love Never Fails after he was deceased. And I did not know he was deceased. Do you understand? But that was in his will or whatever. And so I called and they told me that he was murdered. And I said, dear God, well, you know, his murderer has never been caught. But I tell you what, he will not get away with what he has done. Amen? Oh, no. No, listen, even though, like here in our psalm, they're convinced that the Lord, man, he doesn't see what we're doing. He doesn't see one thing, and not only that, he doesn't even pay attention to us, is what the wicked were saying. It says in verse 8, well, then understand, look what God's word says, understand you senseless among the people. You know, the psalmist, is he practicing tolerance? The word senseless means you are unconscious. You're out cold. It means that you don't have any discernment at all. And he moves from senseless. Look at the next word. He says, and you fools. Literally, that means you stupid ones, all right? You stupid ones, when will you be wise? Isn't that a great question? He says, he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he who formed the eye, shall he not see? You know, that's very simple logic, isn't it? In other words, God created the ear, he created the eye. Are you trying to tell me he can't see and he can't hear? He says, he who instructs or disciplines the nations, meaning the Gentiles, he says, shall he not correct? And he who teaches man's knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, and here they are. They are what? They're futile. That word literally means they are an empty breath. They are meaningless, worthless, and they have no purpose. So the Lord, does he know every thought of man, every plan of man? Everything that man wants to do, all the imaginations. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the word of God says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile or that they are empty. Verse 12, he says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, or the man that you discipline, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest or relief, literally, from the days of adversity, and look at this word, until the pit is dug for the wicked. You know, it is a true word, blessed, or oh, how happy is the man or woman that God chastens or disciplines. Amen? Well, that's a good word, loved one. You know, God doesn't discipline the children of darkness. Did you know that? He doesn't do so. No, the Bible says in Psalm 13 or Proverbs 3:12, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father in his son in whom he delights. But that word there, until the pit is dug for the wicked, meaning those who don't want and will never, or they don't come to the Lord God. Listen, the word or the phrase digging the pit is a picture, if you will, and it describes the preparation for the final judgment. Well, that would be Revelation chapter 20, loved one. What a horrible time. The great white throne judgment. You know, I'm always asked the question about hell and heaven and so forth. And I always say the same thing. God sends no one to hell. Do you understand? No, man chooses that. See, Jesus said, you can accept me or you can deny me. Amen? You can receive me. I love you. I died for you. All those things. But the fact of the matter is that Matthew 20, what, 5:41, it tells us that God did not create hell for man, but he did so for the devil and his angels. The Bible tells us that Jesus said in John 5:40, he said, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. There's the problem right there. They're just not willing to come to the Lord. It says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. There are only two places for man's sin. Only two in all of the universe. They're either going to remain on the man, the person, or they're going to be on Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God tonight our sins were laid upon him, the iniquity of us all. It says, for the Lord will not cast off or abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to the righteous, and the upright in heart will follow it. And he says, now, who will rise up against me or against me, against the evildoers? He says, and who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And then the psalmist sings, and he says, oh, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon been settled in silence. In other words, I would have died. He says, if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties, or all my busy thoughts, is what he's saying, within me, your comfort delight my soul. You know, the thought life is a fight all the time, isn't it? Amen? Yes, and thoughts are so powerful. I mean, lies are powerful. The truth is powerful. And you know, here the psalmist is saying, listen, you know what I've done? I've replaced all of my anxieties with the comfort of the Lord. He's comforting my soul. You know, tonight we know the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies. He's the source of all mercies, and He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, in all of the pain, everything that we're going through, so we can reach out and comfort others with the same comfort that God has given unto us. Amen? God is a comforter. And you know what? He's here with us right now. You know, thoughts, don't let thoughts, cast down those thoughts. The ones that are lies, get rid of them, man. Don't let anything torment you. Remember how we talked about, what was it, a couple of weeks back in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, 8, and 9, and so forth, you know, about being anxious for nothing. Remember the birds, remember the flowers, and all the things we talked about. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious, loved one. He says, shall the throne of iniquity, in verse 20, he says, shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil, and look how they do it, by law, have fellowship with you? Oh, they gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. The throne of iniquity is literally the throne of wickedness. So these are wicked rulers, are wicked lawmakers. And what do? Then, even as today, they pass legislation, in a sense, that would condemn God's righteous, the saints of God. If we brought it up to today's language, it would be that the government, all the lawmakers, the legislators, if you will, they pass laws against the church. Do you see what I mean? That's exactly what's happening today. And so he asks this question. He says, can these wicked rulers who fashion evil and pass laws to make legal sin have fellowship with you, O God? And the answer is never, absolutely not. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought me on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off or destroy them. How? Look at it. In their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. The songs of judgment, loved one. Look at Psalm 95. It's a call to worship, but there's a warning in it as well. It says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. That's just not only for the children of Israel. Man, that's for us tonight. Amen? Listen, I am so thankful that we have that same invitation. Let us sing. The word us means corporate worship, all of us singing together. It says, and here's the deal, if you can't sing, some of us can't sing, you know what I mean? But you can shout. Amen? What does it say? Let me look at it again and find it. It says, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. You can do that. It says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Have you ever done that? Just shouted joyfully to the Lord with psalms, reading back His word, singing His word back to the Lord. Oh, listen, you know, we can come into His presence. He's right here. And when we do, we need to come with a thankful heart. He says, for the Lord is great and the great King above all gods. Of course, gods, you see the little g there? That means whether people think they're real or imagine, it doesn't matter. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Amen. It says, in His hand are the deep places of the earth. The height of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. And oh, come, He says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Do you remember when we used to sing that years ago? You remember when Maranatha came out with that? Remember in Calvary Chapel, the Maranatha singers? All those years ago? Man, that was one of my favorite songs. It was so good. It's still one of my favorite songs. And so the postures of worship. He says, if we're going to come, He says, let us come with rejoicing hearts. And we can do that because we know tonight, if you're in Christ, we have been eternally redeemed. Amen? Eternally purchased. Our sins are forgiven. They're washed in the blood of Jesus. Heaven is our home. Amen? See, we can come rejoicing. And it says in verse 1, let us sing, let us shout joyfully. Look at verse 2 again. Let us come before his presence. It tells us how, thanksgiving. And then it says, let us worship. That word worship means to just lay down before him. Prostrate, just lay down before him. And it says, and let us bow down before the Lord. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our maker, our creator, the one who has given us life and who's given us also everlasting life. Amen. He says, oh, for he is God. He is our God. I'm sorry. He is our God. And we are the people of his pasture. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord is our shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. That we have to make that personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, loved one, and the sheep of his hand. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd cares for the sheep. He provides for the sheep. He protects the sheep. He leads the sheep. He doesn't drive sheep. He leads them. And then comes from worship to warning. Watch this. Today, if you will hear his voice. That word today in the Hebrew speaks of urgency. Means right now, wake up, open up your ears, and so forth. Now, the writer, the author of Hebrews, quoted this, what we're about to read, this right here in other scriptures, in Hebrews 3, 7 through 12. And so this warning is not a warning for those who are not the people of God. This is a warning for those who are the people of God, not to doubt God, not to walk into unbelief and all those things, because it will steal the rest and the promises that God has for you. He says, do not today. Let's read it again. Today, if you will hear his voice, here's what we're to do, not to do. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, when they tried me and they saw my work, God says. How many years did they see God's work? The children, the first generation, the children of Israel, for 40 years. And what did they do? They were the unhappy people. Remember, they were always murmuring, complaining that God wasn't taking care of them. And the first generation, did they die in the desert? They certainly did. They preferred slavery in Egypt. Think about that. Then trusting the promises of the living God who cannot lie. He says, God says, you know what? You saw my works. 40 years. Remember, the Bible says that the children of Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness, did their shoes wear out? No. Did their clothes wear out? No. I mean, dear Lord, can you believe that? They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw Pharaoh drowned and all of the soldiers. Think about that. Not only that, they saw the manna coming down from heaven. It was there every morning when they stepped out to eat. And think of all the miracles, the water that came from the rock, all of it. And yet, even though they saw a pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, even though they witnessed all these miracles for 40 years, their hearts were hardened. Why? Nothing hardens a heart like unbelief. See, listen, unbelief never has enough proof. Did you know that? Never. No. He says, for 40 years I was grieved. That word means I was disgusted, God says. I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So God says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know, the first generation, as I just said, they perished in the wilderness. They never made it to the promised land. Their today finally became a tomorrow, and then it was just too late. Can you imagine following God for 40 years, seeing all those miracles for 40 years, and ending up with a hard heart? That's a frightening thing, isn't it? And that's exactly what they did. Look at Psalm 96 now. So 96 through 100, they've been called the singing psalms, if you will. And they are prophetic in nature because it's talking about when the Lord comes back, when he reigns, when Jesus reigns, and so forth. So it says in Psalm 96, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord not just part of the earth, not just believers. It says all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. So this is an invitation, a worldwide invitation to all of mankind. And that new song, and you know what? That new song is only going to be, the redeemed are only going to sing it. You know what that new song is? You can learn it right now. Did you know that? It's found in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, verse 9. Let me read it to you. And they sang a new song, saying, "You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, and you have made us kings and priests to our God." And here's the part, listen, "And we shall reign on earth," man, "with our Lord." Amen. What a day that is going to be. Look at verse 4. It says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols." In other words, an idol means a worthless nothing. Idols are not real, loved one. And back then, you know, they worshiped the stars, the moons, the heavens, and so forth. But look what the psalmist says, "But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So he says, "Give to the Lord, O families of peoples. Give to the Lord glory, strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and tremble before him, all the earth." One day, all the families of this earth will worship the Lord. And one day, every person on earth, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give glory to Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not, because every knee will bow and every tongue will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? That will happen. It is certain. It is absolutely sure. But it says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Did you know God just said that holiness is beautiful? Isn't that something? You know, Isaiah the prophet, he says there is a highway in the kingdom age, in the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ, when he sets up his kingdom upon this planet. He tells us about holiness. He says in Isaiah 35:8, he says, "Oh, there's going to be a highway there and a road." And listen to what it's going to be called. "And it will be called the highway of holiness. And the unclean, they'll not pass over it." In other words, they can't walk along that highway. They're unclean. They're defiled. It says, "But it shall be for others." You know what? Listen to me. Let me stop. Do you know that one day we're going to walk down that highway? Do you understand that? I mean, this is yet future. And there we will return with the Lord at the second coming. And when he sets up his kingdom, loved one, listen to me. We will literally one day walk down that highway called holiness. It says, "It shall be for others. And whoever walks the road," and I love this, "although a fool will not go astray." What a great promise that is. Because you're on the highway of holiness. And holiness, loved one, is beautiful to the Lord. Matter of fact, the highway of holiness will lead to the throne of God there in Jerusalem in that day. And guess who's going to be sitting upon the throne of David? Jesus our Lord. Amen? And we're going to be right there. So we that are in Christ, loved one, listen, we have our position is, yes, holy, but we need to make it our practice. It's one thing to be a saint. It's another to be saintly. Amen? That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, it says, "Pursue," or literally, "make every effort." It says to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." Now look at verse 10 with me. It says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved, and he shall judge the peoples righteously." Now, watch this now. "Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all of its fullness. Let the field be joyful, and all that is in it, and then all the trees of the woods will rejoice." That word literally means will leap for joy before the Lord. What kind of picture or scene is that? Have you ever seen a tree clapping their hands? Huh? Have you ever, I've never walked out into the field and I've go, man, this is a joyful field. Are you with me? No, that's never happened. Not in Texas. Well, maybe in Fort Worth, but not Dallas. No, listen, I look at that and I say, all of the trees of the woods are going to be leaping before the Lord. This gathering together, man, of everything under the dominion of Christ. When is that? That's the 1,000-year reign. That's the second coming of Christ, loved one. Listen, the heavens are rejoicing. All the trees are rejoicing. And here's why they are rejoicing. They're probably all looking up because their redemption draweth nigh. Like our redemption draweth nigh. It says in verse 13, the reason for all the rejoicing, the whole world, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and all the peoples with his truth. Oh, the songs of judgment. They shouldn't frighten us, loved one. No, no. Listen, they are certain. Jesus Christ, our Lord, he's coming. He's the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth. But when he comes back, he's not going to be the lamb. He's going to be the lion. Amen. He's coming back. We're living in the age of grace, but the wrath of God will be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world, loved one, in that seven-year tribulation period. No, listen, that day is certain. The Bible tells us in Acts 17:30, it says, truly the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now, meaning today, a today word, all that's changed. God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. He sent the Savior of the world. And now what does he do? He commands all men everywhere, no exceptions, to repent, to change direction, to change their mind and so forth. Now, God is commanding that. Why? It says, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. That man is Christ Jesus our Lord. And he has given this assurance to all by raising Jesus from the dead. Knowledge of God's future judgments, whether it's Old Covenant or today, has always been a plea from God for mankind to repent. He always gives man a chance. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? And so here he says, listen, God says the guarantee that I'm going to judge the world is the resurrection. I raised my Son from the dead. So what is the Bible teaching from Acts? It says if Jesus will not be your Savior, you better be prepared. He's going to be your judge. Amen? Now, it says, and look at Psalm 97:1. It says, the Lord reigns. What a day that's going to be. Let the earth rejoice. Let the isles be glad. The Lord reigns. The one who was born of a virgin, that grew up sinless, perfect, Son of the living God, the God-man, who was crucified, buried, risen, or raised from the dead, ascended unto heaven, seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us even tonight. One day he is coming with us. Why? He reigns. Let me tell you something. Hamas doesn't reign tonight. Do you understand? China doesn't reign tonight. Russia doesn't reign tonight. The Lord reigns tonight. Democrats don't reign tonight. Republicans don't reign tonight. The Lord reigns. History is his story. Amen? God is in control of all that is happening. And watch this. And clouds and darkness surround him. Now, this is when he's the return. He says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Spurgeon put it this way, absolute power is safe in the hands of him who can ever, never err. And watch this now. This is another one of the songs that we used to sing. You know, a fire goes before him. Remember that? Y'all remember that song? Yes, thank you, three of you. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. Now, look at this one, verse 4. His lightnings, I love this, his lightnings light the world. The earth, what? Sees. And the earth does what? Trembles. It says, oh, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth. Listen to me. That is one of the most unbelievable, outstanding pictures the psalmist has ever painted. It's the march of God from the throne coming back. Amen? And listen, just his presence makes a pathway. I say, dear Lord, this is the second coming of Christ. And I want you to look at verse 4 one more time there. It says, his lightnings light the world. That means the entire world. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 27, he says this about the second coming, for as the lightning comes from the east, flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. That's the second coming. Man, listen, can you imagine the sky rolling back like a scroll and that lightning, man, flashing, which is the light of God himself? And then it says in verse 4 again, look at it, it says, the earth sees, the earth trembles. Revelation 1, 7, the second coming, let me read it to you. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, meaning every eye on the planet. Do you understand? In the rapture, no one sees him. We're called up to be with him, amen? But the second coming, every person on this earth, it is personal, it is bodily, it is visible. Everyone will see it. It says in Revelation 1, 7 again, behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. Remember the Jews. But he's coming back for the nation of Israel to defend them, amen, to win the war. And it says, and all the tribes, meaning every person on earth who's then there, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him when they see Jesus coming. Why? It's too late. It's too late to be saved. It's too late. Oh, loved one, he says, even so, amen. Verse 6 says, the heaven declare his righteousness, and all the peoples, here it comes again, they see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. In the future, in that future day, all of mankind is going to see the return of the Lord. And you know what? In that day, man will be ashamed that they worship the creature. They'll be ashamed that they worshiped the, you know, creation and not the God of creation. Amen? They're going to be ashamed in that day. It says, Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted above all the gods. You love the Lord. You who love the Lord, hate evil. And look at the reward for doing so. He preserves the souls of the saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Or let me give another translation. Or remember what the holy God has done and give thanks to him. And I say amen. Amen. Oh, how we need to rejoice in the Lord and give thanks for all he has done. The songs of judgment, loved one. Listen to me. Our God reigns, and may he reign in our hearts. May he reign in our minds. May he reign in our marriages. May he reign in our finances and reign in our children's lives. Amen? Oh, listen, how we need that. You know, and I say, yes, Lord, reign in me. You know, verse 11 again, look at it, verse 11, and I'll close. It says, light is sown for the righteous. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Light is sown for the righteous. You know what? I'm ready to always reap the harvest of light, aren't you? Remember what Jesus told us in John, what was it? John 8, 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and that he who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, we have a harvest of light around us right now. We can walk in light every day of our life. Isn't it amazing? Every day we can walk in light because the light lives in us. Amen. Father, we thank you for this simple Bible study tonight. And Lord, I pray over your people. I believe that some are just tired. Some are weary. Some even, they came to church, but they didn't even have a dinner tonight, Lord. I pray that you just fill them up with your righteousness, your peace, and your goodness tonight. And Lord God, we love you. We're thankful that you reign at Calvary Chapel and that we look to you. We are thankful for you. We rejoice in your presence. We bring thanksgiving into your presence from our hearts, oh God. So tonight, bless your people. Oh Lord, prosper them in ways unimaginable throughout the rest of this week. Let them know that if they draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto them. So, Lord, tonight we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we love you tonight, Lord, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to go home. But if you need prayer, remember when the song is over, the altar, there'll be people here to pray with you. At the altar, though, we do ask you to come down and have your mask on. So the Lord bless you. The Lord